color guard commander, are the colors and standards present?
They are, sir.
Advance and post the colors. Please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
Present arms.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Order. Arms. Prepare to post. Post your colors. Color guard right face. One more.
We'll now have our invocation. Charlie Murphy, our chapter chaplain, will come and deliver that for us, please.
Our Heavenly Father, we thank you this afternoon for the opportunity to come together and in the honor of our country. And we want to thank you, Lord, for the blessings you've bestowed upon us this almost 250 years now. Lord, we thank you for the patriots that came before us. And we ask that you be with us as we pass along in our country. Lord, we need you now as much as ever. Forgive us of our sins. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
First of all, I'd like to welcome all that came here today. This is our annual reading of the Declaration of Independence. We do this every year. It's something that our chapter loves to do, and we like to see people in our community come out and be with us today on this this day that we celebrate our independence. We feel that doing this is very important, and we want to continue the tradition, and we want you all to be welcome to be here today. We welcome you all, and we hope that you continue to come back and be with us, because we plan on doing this every year as long as we can. So it is a special time. We are approaching the 250th anniversary of the United States, and we're beginning to celebrate that, this special time. We need to remember our founding fathers, the one who founded our nation. We also need to remember those that made sacrifices for our freedom, and those that continue to sustain us and our nation for its freedom. And again, we're glad that you are here, and remember that we want to celebrate this monumental event today. One of the main missions of the Sons of the American Revolution is to remember and honor those that have served their country militarily. We strive to do this not only for our Revolutionary War patriots, but for all others that have served in that capacity. Today we'd like to recognize one of our local veterans with a small token of our appreciation for his service. He not only did he serve in the United States Army, he continues to serve in the local veterans community through his efforts with the American Legion Post 74 here in Cadiz. We make this presentation of his service, and we would also like to acknowledge our appreciation for his continued support for our SAR chapter. We can always count on him to be among us, if not at all of our local events that we sponsor. It gives me great pleasure to present this medal and certificate of appreciation to Kurt Holmes. Kurt, would you come forward, please?
Kurt, this certificate reads, "We pay special tribute to you for your military service to America and for advancing the universal hope of freedom and liberty for all." And we appreciate
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
And here's your medal. Maybe go.
If it is, I'll share it.
Thank you. Thank you, Kurt. I would like to now read a portion of a letter that one of our founding fathers, John Adams, sent to his wife Abigail on July the 3rd, 1776. He states in part, "Independence Day will be the most memorable epoch in the history of America. I am apt to believe that it will be celebrated by succeeding generations as the great anniversary festival. It ought to be commemorated as the day of deliverance by solemn acts of devotion to God Almighty. It ought to be solemnized with pomp and parade, with shoes, games, sports, guns, bells, bonfires, and illuminations from one end of this continent to the other, from this time forward forevermore." He also goes on to write, "You will thank me transported with enthusiasm, but I am not. I am well aware of the toil and blood and treasure that it will cost us to maintain this declaration and support and defend these states. Yet through all the gloom, I can see the rays of ravishing light and glory. I can see that the end is more than worth all the means, and that posterity will triumph in the day's transition, even although we should rue it, which I trust in God we shall not." On July the 4th, 1776, the Second Continental Congress adopted the Declaration of Independence inside the Pennsylvania State House, now Independence Hall. It was first read 4 days later in the State House yard by John Nixon, a colonel in the Philadelphia militia. It was soon published in newspapers and read aloud to crowds in towns throughout the colonies. Its goals were to rally the troops, win foreign allies, and announce the creation of a new nation. It actually reached Boonesboro here in then the Kentucky County of Virginia about a month later in August. I don't really know for sure how it arrived here, but I'm sure there was a lot of horses involved to get here so quickly from Philadelphia. And just as it was read then, we read it today with the same enthusiasm and patriotic spirit. I ask you to imagine your reaction as if you were taken back 248 years ago, listening to the reading of the Declaration for the first time. I ask you to take part in the reading. When you hear something you like, cheer. When you hear something you oppose, boo and hiss. And now I give you Jeff Baggett in a very dramatic delivery, as only he can do, the reading of the most important American document ever, the Declaration of Independence.
from Philadelphia in Congress, July 4th, 1776. The unanimous declaration of the 13 United States of America. When, in the course of human events, it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another, and to assume among the powers of the earth the separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and of nature's God entitle them, a decent respect to the opinions of mankind requires that they should declare the causes which impel them to the separation. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal.
Yeah.
That they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. That to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. And that whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or to abolish it. And to institute new government, laying its foundation on such principles and organizing its power in such form as to them shall seem most likely to affect their safety and happiness. Prudence indeed will dictate that governments long established should not be changed for light and transient causes, and accordingly all experience hath shown that mankind are more disposed to suffer while evils are sufferable than to right themselves by abolishing the forms to which they are accustomed. But when a long train of abuses and usurpations, pursuing invariably the same object, evinces a design to reduce them to under utter and absolute despotism, it is their right, it is their duty, to throw off such government and to provide new guards for their future security. Yes. Such has been the patient sufferance of these colonies, and such is now the necessity which constrains them to alter their former systems of government. The history of this present king of Great Britain is a history of repeated injuries and usurpations, all having in direct object the establishment of an absolute tyranny over these states. To prove this, let the facts be submitted to a candid world. He has refused to assent to laws the most wholesome and necessary for the public good. He has forbidden his governors to pass laws of immediate and pressing importance unless suspended in their operation until his assent should be obtained, and when so suspended, he has utterly neglected to attend to them. He has refused to pass other laws for the accommodation of large districts of people unless those people would relinquish the right of representation in the legislature, a right inestimable to them and formidable to tyrants only. He has called together legislative bodies at places unusual, uncomfortable, and distant from the depository of their public records for the sole purpose of fatiguing them into compliance with his measures.
Yes, yes, boom.
He has dissolved representative houses repeatedly for opposing with manly firmness his invasions upon the rights of the people. He has refused for a long time after such disillusions to cause others to be elected, whereby the legislative powers, incapable of annihilation, have returned to the people at large for their exercise, the state remaining in the meantime exposed to all the dangers of invasion from without and convulsions from within. He has endeavored to prevent the population of these states. For that purpose, obstructing the laws for the naturalization of foreigners and refusing to pass others to encourage their migrations hither, and raising the conditions for the new appropriation of lands. He has obstructed the administration of justice by refusing his assent to laws for the establishing of judiciary powers. He has made judges dependent upon his will alone for the tenures of their offices and for the amount and payment of their salaries. He has erected a multitude of new offices and sent hither swarms of officers to harass our people and eat out their substance. He has kept among us, in times of peace, standing armies without the consent of our legislature. He's affected to render the military independent of and superior to the civil powers. He has combined with others to subject us to a jurisdiction foreign to our Constitution and unacknowledged by our laws, giving his assent to their acts of pretended legislation. For quartering large bodies of armed troops among us, for protecting them by mock trial from punishment for any murders which they should commit upon the inhabitants of these states.
He's a scoundrel.
For cutting off our trade with all parts of the world. For imposing taxes upon us without our consent. For depriving us in many cases of the benefits of trial by jury. For transporting us beyond the seas to be tried for pretended offenses. For abolishing the free system of English laws in a neighboring province, establishing therein an arbitrary government, and enlarging its boundaries so as to render it at once an example and a fit instrument for introducing the same absolute rule into these colonies. For taking away our charters, abolishing our most valuable laws, and altering fundamentally the forms of our governments. For suspending our own legislatures and declaring themselves invested with power to legislate for us in all cases whatsoever. He has abdicated government here by declaring us out of his protection and waging war against us. He has plundered our seas, ravaged our coasts, burnt our towns, and destroyed the lives of our people. He is at this time transporting large armies of foreign mercenaries to complete the works of death, desolation, and tyranny already begun with circumstances of cruelty and perfidy scarcely paralleled in the most barbarous age and totally unworthy of the head of a civilized nation. He has constrained our fellow citizens taken captive on the high seas to bear arms against their country, to become the executioners of their friends and brethren, or to fall themselves by their hands. No. He has excited domestic insurrections amongst us and has endeavored to bring on the inhabitants of our frontiers the merciless Indians, whose known rule of warfare is an undistinguished destruction of all ages, sexes, and conditions. In every stage of these oppressions, we have petitioned for redress in the most humble terms. Our petitions have been answered only by repeated injury. A prince whose character is thus marked by every act which may define a tyrant is unfit to be the ruler of a free people. Nor have we been wanting in attentions to our British brethren. We have warned them from time to time of attempts by their legislature to extend an unwarrantable jurisdiction over us, We have reminded them of the circumstances of our immigration and settlement here. We have appealed to their native justice and magnanimity, and we have conjured them by the ties of our common kindred to disavow these usurpations, which would inevitably interrupt our connections and our correspondence. They, too, have been deaf to the voice of justice and of consanguinity. We must, therefore, acquiesce in the necessity which denounces our separation and hold them as we hold the rest of mankind, enemies in war and in peace, friends. We, therefore, the representatives of the United States of America, in General Congress assembled, appealing to the Supreme Judge of the world for the rectitude of our intentions, do, in the name and by the authority of the good people of these colonies, solemnly publish and declare that these colonies are and of right ought to be free and independent states. That they are absolved from all allegiance to the British Crown. And that all political connection between them and the state of Great Britain is and ought to be totally dissolved. And that as free and independent states, they have the full power to levy war, conclude peace, contract alliances, establish commerce, and do all other acts and things which independent states may of right do.
Huzzah!
And for the support of this declaration, with a firm reliance on the protection of divine providence, we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor.
Huzzah!
We shall now toll the bell in honor of these 13 independent states. New Hampshire. Massachusetts. Connecticut. Rhode Island. New York. New Jersey. Pennsylvania, Delaware, Maryland, Virginia, North Carolina, South Carolina, and Georgia. And now to honor our independent states, our compatriots, two of them, they are small in number, but mighty in gunpowder, will fire a salute in honor of our precious Declaration of Independence. Oh, they are three in number. We're growing. The rebellion is growing, folks.
What's that rousing speech?
Give them a moment, because it takes a while to load and prepare these flintlocks. They'll be doing a three-shot volley. friends, we're nearing the end of our time together. What we've done today and what you've taken part in is something that we like to call living history. It's one thing to sit in a class and read about things in books. It's another thing altogether to watch it on television. But when you get to experience history as it's alive, we think you appreciate it more and remember it more. And we're actually going to take that one step further today. It's a tradition of ours to involve you in this event. And so we have on our table, we're going to have a benediction in a moment, but we have on the table a copy of this Declaration of Independence. And so after the benediction, we invite you to come and take quill in hand and join in the rebellion and add your name to that declaration. But just know that doing so is a treasonous act against Great Britain. So you're pledging your life and your fortune and your sacred honor in doing so. But we invite you to come and take part by adding your name to our Declaration of Independence. But we appreciate your involvement today. Steve, is there anything else that I'm forgetting? All right, well, wonderful. Well, would you please stand with me, and we'll pray out together. Again, we're grateful for your participation, for making this a part of your celebration of Independence Day. It's the most important holiday that we celebrate as a nation. And so I encourage you to enjoy it with your family and celebrate appropriately. Like John Adams said, he wanted to shoot things off, blow things up, have parades and bonfires. Let's not do bonfires, but, you know. But there are other alternatives. But have fun today, enjoying our holiday. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for this Declaration of Independence, for this step that it was toward the birth of this new nation. I fear sometimes we don't appreciate it as we once did. I believe there's a large number of our citizens who don't understand it, who take our freedoms for granted. May moments like this awaken within them a call to return to the freedom that is such a precious part of our heritage. Thank you for this day, for this holiday. May we celebrate it appropriately. We pray this in the name of our Lord. Amen. Thank you. Please go to the table and join the rebellion. All those of independent spirit and a patriotic mind.